Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. Dr. Olala and I are together this morning, and we are talking about accountability, the danger of not having accountability in our life. And Doc, last time you were talking to us about really some general principles in relationship to this, and you made a couple of statements that really stuck in my mind, and I'm sure in the mind of our listeners. You said that it's not just about entering the race, it's about enduring the race, and we have an accountability for our endurance. And you mentioned that whole concept of accountability in terms of we've got to be accountable to God for our work, for our words, for what He has said about those things. You talked to us a little bit about our marriage and our mates and about raising our families. I mean, you really kind of covered the whole gamut of our life.
Yes.
Is there any area of our life that we're not to be accountable in? Maybe that's really the question we should ask.
Well, no, I think because the biggest accountability is we have is realizing that we're going to give an accounting of our lives at the judgment seat of Christ as believers.
The Bema.
And a person is lost, it'll be at the great white throne judgment where all the records are kept. Hmm. So the earthly accountability is simply a checkpoint to help us to be reminded by visible accountability what eternal accountability is. Hmm. I think as we mature, there is a less of a need for these checkpoints, but as we're growing, it's just like raising a child. You know, you go from one stage to the next, and where it goes from there. Christ said, talking about entrance, it is finished. Paul says, I have fought, I have kept, I have finished. And he was talking about the race that God had put him in. Yeah. But a lot of people get blown out of the race.
Before they even get close to the finish line.
Before they get close to the finish line because of these areas.
And biblical accountability helps us to keep our flesh in check. In fact, you said without it, our character unravels.
Yeah, and I think where there is an accountability partner, it even helps even to know that that person is going to be asking.
Do you
how
have
is
a,
it going and, you know, what are you doing? So
I know you've got some because we talked a little before about the biblical models for these accountability partners that you're talking about. You had a number of them in your...
Well, I think if we look at Joshua to Moses, we see Moses was actually... Moses moved on, but God didn't put another Moses there. He put a Joshua there, but there was that account. Ruth and Naomi.
Sure.
You see that. I think you see David, Nathan.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah, where you see, I think you could even look at Saul when the prophet Samuel came along and said, wait a minute, Saul, something doesn't seem to be ringing true.
Yeah, there's an example of a mentor relationship where the mentoree didn't want to be mentored and resisted.
Yes. And then Daniel, it's interesting thing is Daniel and the three Hebrew children. Mm. See, Daniel brought them along. And because Daniel was highly motivated to glorify God, and then when he was put in position, he brought his boys, three boys with him. They said, hey, I've got to have positions for my boys here. And he took advantage. The king says, what do you want? You know, I'll give you this for what you have done. And at that point, Daniel, when he was younger, took advantage and got his Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego put into positions of influence. When Daniel's 92 years old and the king says, oh, you interpreted, what do you want? I don't want anything. my wife and I were reading that the other morning and we got so tickled because I said, Daniel's 92 years old now. Just tell me the dream.
Yeah.
Just tell me the dream. And he was probably pretty tough meat for those lions, but God had shut the mouth of those lions.
You know, what's interesting about that story is that those three boys were tested, and Daniel's mentoring, I mean, he was apparently off somewhere when they had that bowing incident in Daniel, and those three boys were tried and
true. They were there, and they stood very firmly. And then John Mark to Barnabas, you remember when Barnabas took up for John Mark after John Mark bailed, and it wasn't just a little minor bailing.
No.
It was almost like he was quitting everything. And then
he never gave up on him.
Timothy to Paul. These are some Bible examples, and I think when we look at our accountability to God and for our stewardship, for our words, for our giving, for our ministries, for our belief, our influence, our gifts, and to carry our own load.
So if I want to get into an accountability relationship with somebody, I'm either going to be the partner or I'm going to be the person being accountable. What should that person do for me? Or what should I do in that relationship?
Well, one thing, you give that person the right to question you and ask penetrating questions. I like Howard Hendricks did a segment on mentoring several years ago, and he gave some very key points. These points here came from a lecture that Howard Hendricks did on this topic of mentoring and accountability. And he said what he would really like is give that person the right to ask you penetrating questions. And that is something you say, okay, I'm trusting you to ask these things. Then you give him the right to rebuke you. You say, you know what, that is not right. That is not good. If you want me to love you the way Bible love is, you've got to give me the right to rebuke. And you have to have the right to rebuke me. I give you that permission to rebuke me if you see things. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, right. It says Proverbs 27 and verse 6. And then he has to learn to appreciate you. And you say, boy, you know what? I am so glad. And then he is someone who is a confidant. Mm. Everyone has a best friend.
What happens when everybody has a best friend and they tell their best friend something and that person's best friend is not?
Well, you have to learn.
It's the law of the best friend.
What you tell your best friend, because every best friend has another best friend, and you may not be his best friend.
Exactly.
And everybody shares these things with his best friend.
And I think that's what's hard about accountability for us.
Yeah, and it's hard about sharing information in general or even sharing burdens that you're carrying. But that's where trust is so crucial. Yeah. And it's a time period where you say, I trust that person enough. Yeah. And it's not like you're confessing sin and you're always living under a cloud and, boy, you're legally bound and you say, I'm free in Christ. Yeah, that's right. We are positionally free in Christ. Conditionally, we need some prodding along the way.
Right.
And the visible touch on our lives is just a reminder of the ultimate eternal.
What kind of questions would you ask a person?
I would start out very generic. How is it with you and the Word?
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting good time? What have you been reading recently? What has God's Spirit been teaching you? Has the Word revealed any areas of your life that are getting off the beam?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any area of your life that you say, okay, the Word is, yeah, there has been. But if I'm not in the Word, then the cleansing agent that God has given to me
is absent.
Is absent. Yeah. And so therefore, like when you preached Jonah this morning, a person running from God, full bore away from God, can have perfect peace.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a storm that scared the sailors.
He's sleeping in
Tarshish. Whenever a bad storm was talked, they said that storm was bad enough to sink a ship from Tarshish. So that analogy of Tarshish was extreme. Where was Jonah? Perfect. He was sleeping. And he said, I have peace.
It's interesting, those sailors asked him the penetrating questions you're talking about.
Yes.
I mean, where are you? Where are you from? Who? What?
Yeah.
Oh,
see, what's the deal here? I mean, something awry. We've gone to our gods and there didn't seem to be any. But now tell us about yourself. And so that person becomes a loyal confidant. And again, let me stress, this is not some legalistic accountability where I live under a guilt trip because all you'd have to do is just be dishonest. This is, hey, I'm asking you as a friend.
Right.
Check me on my prayer life. Check me on my Bible study life. Then as you grow and you're independent and you're going on, then you take on someone else who you'll try to.
How would you ask a sensitive question? When you do this with guys and they tell you, man, I'm really struggling with my thought life.
Yeah.
How would you ask, as a good accountability partner, a sensitive question like that?
Well, I would be very careful in that regard. Except to say, is there something right now in your thought life that has gone beyond thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
It is a shame to speak of things done in secret. I don't think I ought to dig out of a person what he is doing. I think if I can get on the street, I don't need to know the house number.
Yeah.
Because I don't need to know that information, but I do need to know he's turned on the wrong street. Even though I don't want to know the number, I know he's
on that wrong street.
He's on the wrong street. I am always very careful in that regard. Is there anything that in your thinking that has led to something beyond thinking? And if that is true, then we better start remembering whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. It may not be now, it may not be a month, it may not be 2 years, but everything I sow will be reaped. Whether it's good or whether it is bad.
And I think that's important in this day and age because people do like to dig out the house numbers.
Yeah, I don't care to. Ephesians 4 speaks, it's a shame to speak of things that are done in secret. I don't, but I do want that person to know that where he can share his heart, where is that struggle? Yes. God knows that. The Holy Spirit can empower you, but you had better put it in reverse, back up, and get back to the main highway.
So accountability, as you're describing it, is not legalism.
No, it's not legalism. No, it's not to put someone on a false guilt trip.
Mm-hmm.
It is not supervision.
But I know people who are like that.
Yeah,
we've all heard the story of the guy, you know, who's falling around with a telescope or one of those binoculars.
Yes, right. Right. It's not spiritual fruit inspecting, but it is something that is there as help. It is not a basis for gossip. It's not, boy, you ought to hear what so-and-so told me and such and such. And it is not decision-making for a person. It is simply giving guidelines. No one can choose for another person. I'm not making this decision for you.
Right.
I'm simply instructing you and asking you questions and warning you. Yeah. It is essential to be honest in this, even if it hurts. Ephesians 4:25 very strongly, put away lying, speak every man truth.
Right.
There is availability, 1 Thessalonians 2:8. I have to be available. And you want a study of availability. Paul, with his message to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, uses very tender terms in there as a nurse, that's a nursing mother, and as father. Very, very tender, tender terms, and saying, I'm available. And then instruction and counsel. Instruct a wise man and he will be wiser, Proverbs 9:9. And then it is voluntary. It's a chemistry that has to develop. And I'm giving this person permission to enter into my life. And when a person is trustable, he will be very much approachable and usable.
How do you know, I'm just asking you personally, how do you know when somebody is ready for accountability and you're going to make that investment in their life?
I think their whole demeanor, their spirit, they're not aloof, they're not guarded, they're not, well, maybe we can, how about if maybe we can meet next week and then you cancel the appointment. You see what I'm saying? That is, I'm here. It's hard to answer that question, except you can get a sense of when someone means business and when someone does not mean business. And I would encourage every man and woman listening to say, okay, who can I have as someone with whom I can laugh and pray and share things and struggles? Again, it's not digging out the things that are between that person and God.
Well, Doc, thank you for taking time to share with us today the importance of accountability. I know these two programs will be very, very useful and helpful to many of our people who hear us each day. And for those of you listening, we want to thank you and encourage you to write in. We do have a copy of Dr. Olala's devotional journal, Manna, available for you. For a gift of $10, we'll be happy to mail that to you. And until the next time that we're together, we'll look forward to being with you on the Word for Life radio broadcast.